morning. If you haven't been to our service before, we'd like to welcome all of our visitors. We're so happy you're here this morning. What we do is we go ahead and start off with worship immediately. So if you want to rise to your feet, we're going to go ahead and worship Jesus today.
Was pitiful applause. Come on now. Hey! Amen. Welcome, Asbury, special guests and visitors. So proud to have each and every one of you in this wonderful time of worship and celebration. The ushers will be passing by pads in just a moment. Won't you please take just a moment and write in your information so that we may greet especially our visitors as we can. Also, just please take note of a few announcements we have here in the bulletin. You notice lots of things are coming on. We are almost on the home stretch to that wonderful day called Easter Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be a special day in the life of our church at 10:45 divine service as we bring in several of our young people into not only the membership of the church, but more importantly, their time to make their public profession of faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. May I hear an amen to that? Amen. That's a wonderful thing, wonderful thing. So you'll notice that there's some special things coming up, especially this Wednesday as we continue not only the Lenten to Zay services from 12 to 12:30 in the Memorial Chapel, but also Asbury Now, new on Wednesdays that evening. And also you'll note that we have a special Isn't It Great to Be a Methodist on April 9th. And if you don't have enough to clean at home, I mean, next Saturday is a great opportunity for you to come and do a little more. So take note of that as well. UMW Bake Sale, a lot of things happening in a very short period of time. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord for worship this Sunday. Let's turn around and greet one another, won't we? If you'll remain standing, we're going to go ahead and continue with worship today. So please, everybody stand to your feet. We're going to continue worship.
Hallelujah.
To invite the children up now for the children's moment.
Okay. All right, boys and girls. Now, most of you play probably some kind of sport, right? Soccer, swimming, taekwondo, gymnastics. Gymnastics. You do, and dance. So y'all are pretty active. So do you think, hey, Lily, and you play softball too, Lily? So what, and Kaylee? You play gymnastics. So when you do all these sports, right, do you think you're pretty, what, thirsty when it's over? Because you need to keep your body hydrated, right? So what is something, what's a good drink you should drink?
Water.
Water. What else? Gatorade. So you know what? When you go to the grocery store, I can tell you I spend a small fortune on this Gatorade for my boys. But there's Gatorade, there's vitamin water, there's Powerade, there's so many different choices of sports drinks and energy drinks and water. So what's the best one you think we should drink?
Water.
Water, right. We should definitely drink water. Now, there's one of these. Where's my Gatorade? Gatorade, on this one, it tells you that if you drink this Gatorade, that it's going to quench your thirst. It's going to give you all the energy that you need. It's going to get you going. It's going to keep you going. So that's pretty cool, huh? Because that makes me want to buy it. Does that make you want to buy it? If it keeps me going for the day and it's going to take care of my thirst, I'm buying Gatorade. It's not true, is it, Madeline? No, because you know what? Wouldn't that be pretty cool, George, if we had someone that could give us, that could quench our thirst? Who do you think can quench our thirst? What about Jesus, who talks about something called living water? Do you remember what living water is? Larissa? The life after in heaven is what Larissa said. So the living water is not something you get from, what, a water fountain, is it? Or the well, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not what we get it from. So what we get it from is, if Jesus wasn't talking about that, the Bible was teaching us that our thirst in our heart is in our heart about God, right? That's where the living water comes from. Lucy? No, not Gatorade. Not Gatorade. Not heaven. No. But it's a thirst that only Jesus can quench. Because you know what? If we have Jesus in our hearts, guess who else is in our hearts?
God.
And guess who can satisfy that thirst?
It's.
You're right. They both will. You're right. So they will both satisfy. So not necessarily water and Gatorade will help us in sports, but that's not going to help us in our hearts, right? Right, you don't need yucky stuff. You just need who? God and Jesus, right. Okay, Madeline, let's
pray. Dear Lord, you have given us Jesus, the living water. May we drink of that living water so that we will never thirst again. Amen.
It is wonderful to have just a moment to ask God to be in our hearts as we visit with Him, our thoughts. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, we are thankful that you have offered the gift of prayer as a way to speak to you. And Father, as our own state has joined the world in enduring a storm this week, we are mindful that storms do come, but that you are such a wonderful God. Storms do not remain. Storms enter and then they leave. And Father, we are thankful that you have shown us that good can come out of any storm for those who look to your guidance, draw upon your strength, and are convicted to rise up and move forward. We come together today as people who may be going through personal storms, conflict in the family, hurt feelings, relationships that have torn and need a divine mending. We pray for our world that sometimes, as we look at it, seems to be beyond repair. But that's the perspective of someone without hope. But we who are in Christ have hope. Because through Jesus Christ triumphing over the grave, over death, over our death and our sin, has given us a hope and a promise like no other. So God, as a people of hope, we pray for each and every one gathered in this room and beyond these walls. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will not only offer healing, but motivation. That with your Spirit, we can take the words of our Lord Jesus and act them in our steps. As he said, with God, nothing is impossible. So we go forward now, Lord, being a faithful people, a repentant people, a people of possibility with a promise of nothing is impossible. So now, Lord, we pray that you hear our prayers as we offer the beautiful and complete prayer Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we invite our ushers to come forward, again, I remind you that it's not too late to offer supplies for our disaster relief. And also, you'll notice in your bulletin are pretty little envelopes, and they're not there just for you to have something else to shuffle around with. They're for your Easter offering. So be sure, and nothing is too small, to honor Christ and what he has done for us as you offer a gift in his honor. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you ordained as a part of our worship to give to your glory and to give to the kingdom of God that you said is right now, is at hand. So as people of faith, may we understand that the blessings we part with today in the form of these offerings will not go missed, but that they will go being blessed. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have unanswered prayers. I have trouble I wish wasn't there. And I have asked a thousand ways you would take my pain away. You would take my pain away. I am trying to understand how to walk this weary land. Make straight the paths that crooked lie. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. Oh Lord, before these feet of mine. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hand. When you walked upon the earth, you healed the broken, lost, and hurt. I know you hate to see me cry. One day you will set all things right. Yeah, one day you will set all things right. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands. Your hands, your hands that shape the world, are holding me, they hold me still. Your hands that shape the world are holding me, they hold me still. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave you. When my world is shaking, heaven stands. When my heart is breaking, I never leave your hands.
Amen.
And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Before I read the text this morning, I just wanted to share with you a little bit about these crosses that have been on the altar during Lent. I don't know if any of you had figured it out that we were adding a new cross for each cry. This cross is a cross that a woman gave to me in one of my former congregations. It simply has the Lord's Prayer etched on it. And we use this, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, as we thought about the forgiveness element in the Lord's Prayer. The same lady, one other day, gave me this cross. It twinkles in the light. And when I offered this on today, you will be with me in paradise, as we think about paradise being like diamonds and glory and total beauty. Behold your mother, behold your son. So we thought about this cross, again, thinking of the clear love between mother and son. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The cross of the nails. And then today, a cross that seems somewhat rusty, parched, needing nourishment to bring it back to its beauty, as we think today about the cry, I thirst. So I invite you to follow along on the screens or in your Bibles if you brought them as we go to the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter and the 28th verse. May the people of God be blessed by this reading and hearing of God's Word. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. More. That's one of the words that I find that little children learn pretty quickly to indicate that they're still hungry or they're still thirsty. There's not a one of us in this room that hasn't experienced thirst. It's simply one of our basic human needs. Without water, without liquid, without hydration, we know we would die. No one likes to sit for very long being thirsty. When are you most thirsty? As Sherry was visiting with the children, is it like the children right after you exercise? Or perhaps on a day when it's warm and you're doing some yard work? Or perhaps that uncomfortable thirst that you have either right before or right after surgery?
I can remember an experience that I had concerning thirst like no other I had ever had before. I was in high school, and it was during band practice. Now, we practiced 4 o'clock like clockwork every day after school. Oh, I'm going to date myself on this. On the Piggly Wiggly grocery store parking lot. Now, you haven't felt heat until you've done that routine over and over and over again on hot 4 o'clock in the afternoon asphalt. Ron Allen was the name of our band director. He was a pretty big fella. And he whipped us into competition shape, and we received, quite frankly, several awards. Hit it. Oh, yes, we were called Allen's Marines. Okay, that's not the right screen. Okay, there's something over the marching band. But we sound good. Okay, I'm going to have to act this out. I played the flute. Sorry y'all are missing this. Okay, what I want you to do, seriously, you've got to do this. You've got to write this down. You've got to go to YouTube, because we're on YouTube, and type in Camden HS Marching Band 1972. Because it really is worth seeing. Okay, let me do that again, because some of you are actually getting your pen out. Camden HS Marching Band 1972. Because it's a 7-minute clip, which I did not have, I promise, 7 minutes of this. But we got a number one rating. And it's a floating diamond. And if you've never seen a marching band do a floating diamond, it's pretty cool, because the majorettes come through the band. Yeah, you don't have anything else to do this afternoon. There you go. Okay. But we were known as Allen's Marines. And my best friend Angela, who's been my best friend since we were 6 years old, loves to tell this story. And she's told it for some 30 years, so, yeah, I'm only 36. And so she has embellished it, but no one tells it like she does. I wish she were here to tell it. But here we are, flute and flute, standing at attention for a while. And she loves to tell how out of the corner of her eye she saw me. And kerplunk I went, which I'm not going to demonstrate for you, on that hot asphalt. I fainted. When I came to, all I could hear was Mr. Allen. I mean, he had to be 350 pounds. You know, I mean, he was a large man. Get up. Go over there. Well, I knew where over there was, because the assistant band director was right there with a cup of ice chips and salt tablets, of which I was told to consume and get back in line, which I did. All of that to say,
when you and I are that thirsty, we know that the best relief we can get is to find a cooler place and to sip slowly a glass of cool water. I would imagine the thirst of our Lord that day was so far beyond any level of thirst that you and I have ever had. He said two small words, "I thirst." That's so typical of Jesus Christ as you look at what he did during that time. In his typical humility and compassion for others, what did he do on the cross? He gave forgiveness to a resistant crowd. He gave repentance, forgiveness of sins, and grace to a repentant thief. He entrusted two people that meant more to him to each other. His mother and the beloved disciple John. That's what he did in his own need. He was taking care of the needs of others. That's the kind of living water, my friends, that Jesus gave then and is still giving now to a world that is thirsty, a thirst of self, a thirst in a world that is consumption focused, a thirst in a world where we are so beyond being capable of being focused for very long at all. And that's the living water from the very one who overcomes all of these that is offered to you and to me. Why is it then that we don't partake of this living water? Because it takes faith. I mean real, deep faith. Before we realize we need Jesus in the first place. For those of you that are following me on Twitter or on Facebook, today's has something to do with this. I just said a thought. Why church? Because it holds the greatest likelihood for an encounter with Christ. Why Christ? Because you and I sin, and we can't clean up our mess alone. Nor do we need to put that burden on any other living human being to save us. Mainly, we need to grow the kind of love for one another in Jesus, who clearly loves us and does not plan on leaving our side. For he said, "Lo, I will be with you always to the end of time." We need that living water like a strange woman from a pagan land, the woman at the well, who in her dire need and recognizing that dire need, needed a new life, had the courage to broach a Jewish man, which was taboo at the time for a Samaritan to do, and asked for that living water so she could live a new life. Loose woman, pagan woman, great courage. In Matthew 15, we discover another such woman. She was an outsider from the land of Canaan. Non-Jewish territory. Didn't believe in God. And she ran to Jesus and his disciples when she realized her daughter was not getting well. And in that desperation, she found Jesus and the disciples. And Jesus didn't respond to her immediately, and the disciples shooed her away. But Jesus saw something in this woman. He saw faith. She was willing to compare herself to a dog when he explained that he had just come for Israel. And she said, "But even the dogs are allowed to gather the crumbs under the master's table." Because of her great courage, because of her great faith, because of her persistent love, Jesus healed her child. And now, much later, in his own need, Jesus whispers, "I thirst." How could the people look at Jesus, who loved Jesus, asking for something so meager, so innocent, but yet so vital to relieving any bit of agony for just a moment? How could they take it? Wanting to help but understanding to do so could endanger their very life. And all the time, what are they hearing? They're hearing the taunts of the Roman guards yelling, "Stay back! Stay back!" It's interesting, as you research all the Gospels about this incident, that they all four include it. They all four mention vinegar was offered. Three of them, Matthew, Luke, and John, say the soldiers gave it to him. Matthew, Mark, and Luke imply it was offered, but Jesus refused to drink it, wanting, no doubt, to feel the entire full suffering for humanity's sin. Only John says he received it. But Mark, believed to be the first gospel written, in his 15th chapter, he is the only one that says a bystander filled a sponge of vinegar attached to a reed and offered it to Jesus. It does not say that Jesus received it. The words right after the fact that he offered it simply state, "And Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last." Imagine with me just a moment, won't you? You're at Calvary that day. You hear the voice of Christ barely audible above the crowds as he says the words, "I thirst," in stretched lungs and gasps of breath. You've followed him some. You know a bit of his teachings. And when you hear these two little words, you think to yourself how hard it is to hear them from the man who taught. "He who believes in me shall never thirst." Would you and I have had the courage to be that bystander and to come forward? Would you and I have been willing to make our way through the crowds and offer to help, knowing that doing so, our own life could be at risk? Would you and I have been willing to brush by the sharp blades of the sabers hanging on the waist belt of the Roman soldiers knowing that those weapons could very well be used to attack you, to sustain you. Would you and I have had the courage to help Jesus? What would we have seen had we been there? We would have seen what Jesus saw. We would have seen that brave soul coming forward to help. We would have seen soldiers doing anything and everything they could to contain the crowd and intimidate anyone from trying to offer help. We would have seen an agonized mother and a facial expression of one who held such sadness we can't even begin to describe on the face of John. We would have heard the cries from the criminals hanging by the flesh on either side of our beloved Lord. We would have heard the jeers from the crowds, and we would have heard the cries from the religious as they just shook their heads in fear and disbelief. Look, the world has gone after him. You can do nothing. The world has gone after him. They had every reason to be afraid. The world would never be the same. Judaism would never be the same. Those who witnessed that day would never be the same. Pentecost would be on the horizon with the resurrected Lord and the offering of the Holy Spirit that would be released. That would be proof. The world would never be the same. And it is not for any and all who desire to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. So what's different? What does the world find when we meet Jesus? Well, first of all, we discover that we're sinners. And as I said a while ago in the little tweet, we can't do it alone, and it's too much of a burden for you to try to dump it on somebody else and get them to save you. We discover Jesus is the only Son of God, loving us unconditionally, willing to redeem us if we believe and repent and commit to live a life which makes a difference in the name of Christ. We find peace. And remember the words of Jesus, a peace not as the world gives, but as I give. A peace that is lasting, a peace that is not temporary, a peace that is eternal. We find power in prayer and of Christian fellowship and friendship. And in Jesus, we discover and experience the living God. So I just got to thinking, spiritually speaking, it's not such a bad thing to thirst. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what? For they shall be satisfied. We are the woman at the well, seeking the living water. The water that Jesus said, I give you, becomes a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We are the woman who seeks far greater than surface answers. We are the woman with courage going beyond the norm, going beyond social taboos, and we go to Jesus. We are the woman whom Jesus offers a source for which we shall never thirst. So on this fifth cry we think about today, and we hear the words from Jesus, I thirst. I'm just kind of thinking that maybe he said them because he was prompted by our thirst. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As the celebration singers and band come forward to lead us in our final song today, we invite any of you who wish to unite with this church, Asbury United Methodist Church, in any of the ways that we receive members to come forward and to do so. If you've never professed your faith in Jesus Christ as the source of quenching whatever thirsts you, we invite you to do so. If you care to come forward and renew your faith, now's the time to do that. And as always, we invite you to come forward to pray. Let us stand and sing. Wonderful to be in fellowship with you today. I pray you felt a real cleansing, a real touch, a real quenching of your thirst. May you go forward now and share that living water that Jesus spoke about and hopefully that you've tasted. Please receive the blessing. And now, O God, may we go in your love and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.